Eva, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm super honored. I mean, I'm psyched. Thank you for being here. Before we dive in, tell me how old you are and what grade you're in.
Well, I'm 13, but I'm going to be 14 next month, and I am going into ninth grade.
Nice. Ninth grade. Gosh. Now, are you changing schools now, or are you going to be in the same school?
I was originally homeschooled, but now I'm going into a public school.
I mean, that's cool. You're in a really cool shift and new chapter of your life. This, what were you about to say?
It's going to be like a change, but it's going to also be fun.
I think that's a really healthy way to approach it. I have a phrase that I use often that says, "Here I go boldly and terrified." And that's like, a little bit of life, Okay, so we talked about subjects, and the subject that you were drawn to was this concept of finding your voice and overcoming fear with confidence, that sort of thing. And what does finding your voice mean to you?
I think finding your voice was like really helpful with things because when I was younger, I really never talked. I didn't talk to pretty much anyone. I would barely talk to my mom. And after I was around the right group, I thought to be confident, find it, and my life got a lot better after that.
Yeah. Eva, when did that happen? When did you start feeling like you could speak up? Was there something that happened that made you get the confidence to start talking?
I just watched like other people and friends, and I was like, I really want to have friends too, and I really wanted to be like them. So I was thinking, I was like, well, I don't need to be like them. I need to be like myself. So I ended up talking, and it was just great because I didn't have to be silent anymore, and it
That's
made sense.
amazing. When was this?
I think I was about 10.
Wow, amazing. Has it felt freeing to be able to speak your mind?
Yes, very.
Were there times, but I'm just so curious, like were there times before where you wanted to say something but and you felt like in prison not being able to say it, or was it just you didn't have much to say?
I always wanted to say stuff, but also I never really wanted to get in trouble around me. So I tried to stay quiet so I wouldn't like say anything bad, not do anything. And yeah, it felt really bad.
Oh my gosh, it must feel so free to be able to say what you're thinking.
It definitely did. And
Yeah. Do you think, do you think it affected, and we're talking about finding your voice, like your actual physical voice, but like, do you think it played into other parts of your life as well? Because you are a dancer, a beautiful dancer.
I feel like it definitely did with that because ever since I would now talk to my instructor, and he was always like, Eva used to never talk to me when he was when she was 4 years old, and I was like, oh no.
I want to know, because I think it's really important to have specific things. Are there specific examples of like things in the past, and this can be little or big, but things in the past that you were fearful of and you struggled through, but now it's a breeze because you've decided, or you made this like conscious effort to speak up?
Oh yeah, I have
Oh, great. Give me a
lot.
couple, because I think this is like when people talk in these broad forms, there's so many times where I'm like, wait, but what are the exact, like, what are specifics, you know?
Yeah. So this was about when I was in first grade. I was in public school. I would go over and I would be way too shy to like speak out loud, and I would always not talk to my teachers. My teachers would ask me questions. I would stand in the corner, hands by my back, and just not talk. There was this kid that kept on coming around me, and she would push me off the swing, she would choke me, and it wasn't a really good experience. So then the next day, I went over to her and I was just like, "Why would you do me like that?" And then she said, "What do you mean? You kind of deserve that." And I said, "No, you got into the principal's office." She's like, "No, I didn't." And I said, "I literally watched you do it." And then she said, "Well, that's not fair. You just did it because you're a teacher's pet." And after that, I think I threw off the swing and then got ice cream after. And that helped a lot after that.
Yeah.
And there was also a time, this is when I started going homeschooled. I was in about sixth grade. And I would be at dance and I would have like no friends. So I would just be in class myself and I'm like, I really don't want to be here. And then there was a girl that spoke out to me one day, and then that taught me to speak out because she was basically like my older sister pretty much. And it just clicked in and I became really good friends with her. And I was like, I'm gonna start speaking like that because it felt pretty well. And
So you took her, so it took, this is why I think role models are so important. So it took sort of a role model figure because she was older than you, I assume. Okay, so it took her coming to you to offer this sort of like platform of confidence or trust or whatever to say, and then did you want to, was it that you wanted to model yourself after her? Because that's a really specific thing. Like, I think if I were like a young girl and I'd be like, okay, what's one way I can get there? And this sounds like a really like good way. So she did she seek you? She sought you out to
yeah,
talk
she
to
pretty
you.
much did, so
Yeah.
she's very helpful.
That's so cool. And then did you fold into her friends, or did you just the confidence of being her friend, did it make you want to reach out to girls your own age?
I'd say it's a little bit of both, but because I have friends my age, few friends like younger than me, and then I'm friends with like most of her friends, so it all like spreads around.
So you get the best of both worlds.
Yes.
That's amazing. I think this, you know, all of these subjects that we talk about in this podcast, they all tie together. And it makes me be like, now that you are 13, almost 14, about the role you get to play in a 9-year-old's life, in a, you know, a 10-year-old's life. And it's cool because you're gonna continue the legacy, I imagine, you know. It's a cool thing. Okay, so now that you feel like your confidence has gotten higher, what do to keep it there?
Well, what I usually do is I just think to myself, I can do this once I have a like session where I'm like, I can't do this, I'm gonna fail. Because that did happen maybe about 3 days ago, but then I thought to myself, I was like, I need to be confident, I can do this, I can do anything I want, and anything I can achieve in life will happen right now if I even attempt. Because you're never a loser if you still attempt, but if you don't attempt at all, you are a loser. So
Oh
you
my gosh, you're like, I could tear up. I'm like, that is so wise. Eva, this is like, it's like you can't fail if you try.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow. And do you have these like conversations with yourself? Like you, like even 3 days ago, you just literally like sort of sat yourself down and had this conversation.
Pretty
Man.
much because there was an audition I had for a dance team, and I was really nervous about it.
Yeah.
And my mom went over, and I don't feel comfortable tumbling a lot. And my mom was like, "Look at her back walk over." And she told one of the judges, she's like, "Well, I'm going to make you do it." The judge left early, so I was like, "Okay, I don't have to do that, I don't think. But should I still attempt?" And I was a little bit scared.
Yeah.
So I ended up attempting on a carpet, but I did not want to do it on a gymnasium floor.
Yeah.
So I ended up not doing it, but I was practicing as soon as I got home because I'm like, I am going to learn to do this on that floor so that way I can do it next year and be prepared.
It's
So.
good. Well, and I think that's a step of going, okay, so I think there's not, I think confidence, I mean, you're speaking to it, doesn't happen in one big go, and it's not everything. It's like unfolds and unfolds. And so you, and then the thing is, if you do practice, I imagine next year you're just going to be like, you know, kind of just backbending, you know, like I think it's sort of cool that you recognize your boundary with it too. You didn't just go out there and, you know, ultimately possibly hurt yourself or whatever, because you know, it seems like you have a pretty clear sense of what your boundaries are and your I say limitations, but that's not really the right word.
Yeah.
I think also when it comes to the social game, when you decided to speak up, do you think that all of your fear sort of melted away, or was it something like you had to slow, like the walk, the back walkover? Did you slowly have to peel it back, or were you just like, I'm out there?
I feel like I just like went out after that because I kept on noticing, oh, this girl looks nice. I'm gonna ask to be her friend. And sometimes I just start conversations and never stop talking to them till that day. So
Do you
also
go up to them and say, like, do you want to be my friend? Or is it just, yeah, you just find like a mutual, like a shared
mean,
interest?
for me, I use like an interest of something. And then we keep on talking after that. And then we never really like say we're friends, but we are friends. And then we turn into like good friends. And it just keeps on going around.
Isn't that always the case? It's like you don't have to say, like, you're my friend. It's just there. It's like it never
Know.
was not there, you know? Oh, that's so cool. I think people, I don't think we talk enough about how, like, there's a challenge in making friends. And I think even as adults, I think women don't talk about how hard it is to make friends. And I think, like, that's a really clear, specific thing to do. Like, okay, maybe don't go up to somebody and say, will you be my friend? But like, maybe if you find the shared thing, that's the in, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's cool. Okay, so I think we've talked about this. We've hit on this a little bit, but is there something specific in your life that you're really proud of overcoming?
I would probably say that I'm really proud of overcoming like my fears of like jumping off of things and making friends, which we already went on about that story, and dancing in front of people
Yeah,
also.
because I wondered if you're with you dancing, because you've clearly been a dancer before you were talking, like
Oh,
you
yeah.
before you were talking. Did that, is that, does that feel as vulnerable to you? I mean, what, how were you able to be so shy and still be able to dance on stage?
When I was about 3, I stood on the stage and just went like this, and then sometimes I'd attempt the moves. But like I like scooted down, then pushed into like a plank, then scoot back down, then jumped.
Yeah.
And we called it down back scoot jump up.
And it just,
Was,
did it give you like, did you get the bug? You were like, oh, now I have
yeah.
to be on stage. What did you do at like age 10? Were you feeling like, I don't know, like you were dancing, I know, a lot.
At age 10, I just needed to work on facials pretty much because my face was like this.
Because were you scared? Is that why?
A little
Yeah.
bit, but
It's like you have to, sometimes you have to fake it till you make it.
yeah.
And I think a little bit, I hear you say that, and I'm like, that's a little bit like making friends and having the confidence. Like sometimes I'm just faking it, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, it doesn't stop. Like when you're like in your 40s, you're like, oh, sometimes I'm just gonna have to fake it. And then it settles in, you know, with the
Yeah.
rest. Okay, so how do you feel like your life is different now that you have found your voice? How do you think your life is different from, let's say, the time you were 10 years old, 9 years old, to now? Like, what is the major difference for you?
Well, I can now like go up to people and go, and if I have like a sleepover, then I'm not afraid to like talk to their parents because they would be like, hi, honey. And then I'd be like in the corner. And now I'm just like, hey, how are you? And I start conversations with them now. And it gets a lot better because I don't feel too awkward anymore.
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, you can take that into every part of your life.
Yeah.
And it feels to me like, and I'm And correct me if I'm wrong, but it feels like you made the decision to believe that you are worthy of these conversations. Like you were
Oh,
worthy of friends, you were worthy of it. That's what I'm hearing. And I have to wonder, like, it's so simple. You were like, I just decided to talk, you know, and it's like, I think maybe it could be boiled down to that simple, like making the decision to say, I'm worth whatever that is, that conversation, that
yes.
part, that, you know, you value yourself enough. It's really cool. I have to say, Eva, like, there are a lot of young women and women my age, we all struggle with it, who are nervous to say what they feel, or nervous to even say hi, like because they feel maybe like they don't belong or something. And what I'm hearing is like from you, sort of this like radical feeling of belonging.
Yes, that's right. I think,
Yeah, what do you, yeah, do you feel, you could expand on that. I mean, I'm just sort of riffing, but.
I feel like what also kind of got me in there was I have an older sister, but I feel like I've always acted like a little more older and like mature. And she would always follow behind me because she always talked for me, but whenever there were people, she wouldn't talk at all. And where I was like 3 in dance, I made friends really easily. Like I made friends with a 9-year-old, and I
Okay.
still talk to her till this day.
Isn't that
So,
wild? And then you went through a time where you didn't, and now you found it again.
yeah.
You know, I have a feeling that will happen in your life. Like you'll have, I know this happens for mine. It's like seasons of major courage and then a little bit of like rebuild time, quiet time, and then major courage and you know, the rebuild. It's rad. It's rad, Eva. Like you're a cool lesson in making the choice to belong, to like realize that you're worthy. You know, listening to you, it's like I hope people listen to it and go, oh my gosh, like I need to make the choice for myself to speak up, to speak my truth, or to speak. It's really cool. So now we're gonna get into the know-it-all section of this interview. Okay, my first question, ready? What do you feel like is your superpower at this stage in your life?
I would probably say like responsibility.
Wow, that's good. What, can you expand on that a little?
I feel like I've always been like responsible because yes, my sister, but also I would go over and when I was the age of 7, I would go up and make my doctor's appointments. I would go in the stores for my mom. I'd be like, can I go in and order some things and stuff like that? And I would most likely go to a Kroger and I would go in and use that card. And then they're like, aren't you too young? And I was like, no, this is my mommy's card. And then I would go in and just like leave, go into the store and be like, can I go in here? Can I pet that dog? And
Wow. Okay. Yeah, that's crazy. That's you're gonna that will be a superpower as you get older too. Like keep that. What don't you want to lose as you get older, you become an adult? What don't you want to lose in yourself?
probably passion and like a routine, because right now I have a routine where I get up, shower, get dressed, get ready for the day, study, and do that stuff. I really don't want to lose a schedule after I get older and graduate, so I don't want to run bed all day or just randomly go to a store and never like leave.
How's that connected to passion for you? Like, what is it that you're scared of losing in regards to passion? Like, I'm wondering, like, because you've probably seen adults that don't that you feel like don't have any passion or anything. Yeah, is
Because
my assumption.
there was also another time, because yes, passion around like doing things and not being like lazy all the time, wanting to go out and play something, like some sport, some anything, which I know a lot of people don't do that, and sports aren't for everyone, but I really just want, like, for people to be happy.
Yeah.
And my biggest thing is I really wanted to be a professional dancer whenever I get older, and I really don't want to lose the passion for that, like, while I'm in the high school phase.
Yeah.
And that's my biggest hope.
I after watching you dance, Eva, I have a hard time believing that passion will fade. But I think a lot of us are scared about losing our passion. I think a lot of people, this is something that you have and I have, like that is a shared thing among women and probably men, but I don't care about them. across the board. So I love you hitting on that. The next question is, what do you have a sense of understanding at this point in your life that you think adults don't think you do?
I have like a really weird understatement, but it always like seems to happen with me. I can tell like what different types of stresses people have, and there's like different types that they can see. So if someone's like cussing somewhere, I'll like, okay. Like if they keep repeating it, they're stressed. If they're literally crying, probably stressed. And it always seems to happen. And I think that's where the dancer in me grew. And I understood what all the stress was like because I see it backstage all the time.
Yeah,
So
yeah.
everywhere I go, if I see it like in a store, if I see it anywhere, and I'm like, oh, that person probably has like something wrong because.
Because they're acting inappropriately or whatever. Man, that is really, that's insight that I think we could all bring into our lives, to be kinder to people ultimately. Oh, I love that about you. And I can sense that with you. I feel like you're a soft place to land. So your understanding of people that speaks that I feel like anyone listening to this podcast would be like, yeah, she would be a really good friend and a good person to be understood by. Okay, what advice do you give your future self?
I would just tell me to be kind. I
Really?
yeah.
That's the advice you give your future self. That is so clear and so simple and so good.
Thank
Gosh,
you.
Eva, that's good. And can you expand on it just a little? I mean, we could end on that, but I'm so curious about what does being kind mean?
Being kind basically means like go out to people, see if they're okay, and maybe talk with them a little bit. If they want to hang out and you have free time, talk to them, see if you can. And don't really talk bad about people behind their backs because it's not really something that they would want to happen. And if you did it in front of their face, it would not be the same. So my biggest advice would probably be that. And just hope that everyone else out there will also be kind and.
That's great. Honestly, like what a lovely way to to end this interview to go, okay, so that's the hope for you. To be honest, I'm gonna take that same advice for me. Because I do believe when kindness is offered, kindness is given.
Yes.
Eva, it has been a joy to chat with you. You are so insightful and wise at 13. I mean, it's amazing to me. So thank you so much for chatting with me today.
Thank you.
Bye, see you.